order to gain extra velocity.
Okay.
Or to slow it down. I believe in some cases the stage is turned around and it's dumped in the backward direction to slow it down. But anyway, it is the means of using the propellant that's there to get some extra energy from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the tanks are pressurized, and in order to dump this, if you have been venting the tanks, then you will need to shut the vent in order to let the pressure build up in there, and then that will force it out through the engine. So it's just you just use the pressure that's in the tank to force this out through the engine. You don't run the engine.
Yeah, but does this dumping take place before you have this transverse operation and docking, or after?
Always after. I don't think you'd ever dump it in before that.
No. Mm-hmm.
So you have gotten into the orbit you want to be in with the J2, the proper orbit, and you are then holding that. Now the only thing you're doing there, you're just coasting after that. You're maintaining your position with these latitude control engines,
yeah.
Whether you want to roll or whether you want to pitch up or down. You're maintaining a given position, level, or stable attitude,
mm-hmm.
So it's not tumbling or something. You're maintaining steady. But then you proceed to finish the docking, and after that, and after the spacecraft gets away, then you would dump the propellant, you see.
Mm-hmm.
See, that gives it a push in some direction.
Yeah,
you want to have a collision,
yeah.
Or something, so you don't want to end up letting it be out of control that way.
Okay, I guess, yeah.
I think the dumping, see, you have the same thing in the attitude control engine. Some of those engines are pointed directly to the back, two of them, one engine on each side. So in these flights where they have impacted the moon, they have had to decide how much of that propellant to use and how much they can use of the propellants that they dump, you see. Because you've got those two sources of energy, and you've got to decide then how much of each you need to use in order to get the right velocity to hit the moon, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And you are able to use either one. You can either dump the propellants, that'll give you a certain amount of energy, a certain amount of velocity, or you can turn on attitude control, and you can keep track of how much you've used it so you can tell how much you've got left. So I guess I don't know which one is more controllable. I presume attitude control is more precisely able to turn it on and off, you see, when you want to.
Yeah. Okay, I have another note jotted down here on 204. Something up about panel flutter on the S4B forward skirt. Remember anything about that?
We had a lot of discussion of that, but I guess I'm not sure that we really had any problem with that. The forward skirt is made up of their rings, and then there's their longitudinal stiffeners, and there's flat sheet across that, around that. And there was concern that this sheet material would flutter, would vibrate, and would break up when you reach certain flight conditions. So we had made a set of parts to cut down on the size of these panels. In other words, we had some little bars that could be riveted in between. If your panels are ever 6 inches apart, then you could actually put another one in halfway between, but it corrected. But since there's a bunch of rings there, that got difficult to do. So the next correction would then be and put some little circular bars. It was easier to get in and put those around to cut down on the size of those panels.
Mm-hmm.
So we made up some of these kits to put on Saturn 1B, and I believe we made up some for Saturn 5. And I guess each flight we try to decide whether to put these on or not. And I think we put it on some of the flights. I don't remember now which ones we put it on.
Yeah.
But some we put on down at the launch pad and out on the pad there, up in the air. And after we put it on, we found that there was still problems. There was a little small opening at each end, and they thought this would let it get too hot due to the aerodynamic heating, so we had to go put little clips over all those things.
Hmm.
But I believe we put that on two or three stages, I think we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall now which of those stages that was. And I'm not sure whether 204 may have been the first 1B stage that we put that on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess kind of the climax, the last one too, was 205, when you had the first manned Apollo. And I was wondering, it was the first manned flight, and if you felt any special tensions, or are there any unusual things that occurred, any special precautions that you took, because it was the first manned Apollo flight, and because it was after the fire, too.
Yeah. I guess we had a lot of reviews and a lot of meetings that decide whether everything was well. I don't know of any special work that we did on the stage. I think we went through all of the repairs and all of the tickets that write up defects and everything, and went and checked those a number of times to be sure that we thoroughly covered everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall now any special things that we did for that stage. There was one of those stages, I'm not sure whether it's 204 or 205, that in filling, I believe it was in filling the, maybe in 205, in filling the propellant tanks in the stage up above, Escobedo spacecraft, I guess it was a spacecraft at the service module, they spilled some of that propellant down in there, and we had to take that forward interstage off, I believe, and clean that up and put it back on. I believe that was done. And we had never done that before, I don't believe, taking that whole front end off,
mm-hmm.
because this propellant is highly corrosive, the stuff is. It, the propellant that they use, as far as aluminum is concerned,
mm-hmm.
or electrical wires, some may be highly corrosive. So
that UDMH stuff?
It's monohydrazine. I think the nitrogen tetroxide, I believe, is the oxidizer. It's the most corrosive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worse than that propellant. I'm not sure that the propellant is as bad as an oxidizer.
Mm-hmm.
It's nitrogen compound. And I believe they spilled some of it on there, and it just takes a lot of water, I guess, to wash it out. I believe they had to take the forward skirt off. Clean that up, and I'm sure there was many of the tests that were run over as a result of having to take that apart. But I don't know of any real problems that we know of with the stage. We got ready for that.
The astronauts were pretty busy, obviously, doing their spacecraft and their own mission things. But did you find that they did take occasion to? They're interested in the launch vehicles that were going to send them up? And were there any astronauts that were especially interested in this and came around and asked questions about it?
Well, there were, earlier when during the design part, there were some of those assigned. They used to take turns coming to our review meetings that we had. I guess assigned to the S4B stage, it used to come to some of our meetings. Frank Borman used to come to some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And They were interested in what it was. I guess they were interested in how it worked and all, but not to the point of, I guess they were mainly concerned with having some assurance that they thought it would work all right. And now there's a booklet that's prepared, like goes with a car. I mean, it's much bigger than it comes with a car, but it
mm-hmm.
gives pictures of all the systems and
mm-hmm.
how the thing works and all, which is prepared for their use. Now, I'm not sure that they have the time really to use that thing. I think it is really used by the people in the control center in Houston who have some people there assigned to follow the booster part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be sure what the systems are in the vehicle and how it works and what parts are in there. I think it's mainly prepared for those fellows rather than astronauts. I don't
mm-hmm.
think they really have time to study this thing. And actually, there's not too much they can do about it. See, they have only a light or two that says it's running or not running. I think that's about all they get, and all they can do is hear what's happened down there or hear something about it, but I don't believe there's any direct controls they can have over it.
Mm-hmm. Were there any people on this list that struck your memory or recollection that were outstanding personalities or any meetings that you remember particularly that things happened?
No, I don't recall any. We had a lot of meetings, but I guess I don't remember any special ones that would come to mind.
What about your relationship with Von Braun? Was he very much involved with the program management here at this stage?
Yes, he was very involved in the status and the reviews of the program. We would
mm-hmm.
have these, I guess about every 2 or 3 months, we would have a meeting like that to review where we stood and what problems existed. Directions were back in, and then before each flight, there was always a what we called a readiness review to review all of the open problems and all of the corrections that had been made, and to review the history of the stage, what had happened there in the past, and to review any problems or any areas or things that we thought might give a problem. We'd have to outline all of these.
Mm-hmm.
There were meetings of that type, which he always.
I've heard some comment that occasionally there were differences, say, between the old NACA people who moved into NASA and the Von Braun team. And occasionally there was a kind of a difference, say, between the old Air Force philosophy or aviation philosophy, and the difference with the missile theories that the von Braun team developed in Germany under different conditions. Did you ever run into any occasions like that?
No, I don't know of any of anything like that I have seen. I believe that there has been more testing, more ground testing of these rockets than has normally been the case. That's what we have continued to run into with the work with the contractor. They, in general, don't really are not accustomed to doing the extent of ground testing which was done in
the contractor.
And they normally, in my opinion, what I've run into is they would be satisfied to do a good bit less than what we have required them to do.
Looking back on it, do you think that you did more ground testing than was necessary?
No, I don't think we did more than was necessary. I think that in some cases we were in a rush to get finished, and we would build an interim configuration. That is, we would end up building a valve one way to have it for a certain flight or something, and fully test it, and then later we would have the time to have the other one finished that we had planned to build. So I think that I would say that the type of testing, I think, was proper, was adequate, was what should have been done. If we had to do that over, I think we would try to do a better job of testing it, of having only one configuration and complete the testing ground. Because in some cases we could look back and say, well, that's a particular type of valve, and we really have two of them that we fully tested now. One of them, which we had to take some shortcuts in, but as far as the amount of testing and the qualification, it's all right, but it didn't have all the features in it that we needed, you see, in the final, for the final mission. In other words, it won't do certain things that we needed to do. So we had to go ahead and build it, though, and qualify it, and then later we were able to get all of the features we needed in there, so we then qualified that. So I think that that's the only place I think would be in order to look at is not not cutting out the type of testing that was done, but to be sure that we really only do it one time. That's what I think would be the only area I would think would be well to look into.
What about Lee James? Do you have a lot to do with Lee James?
Yes, I worked with him for quite a long time. Man, I would had a high regard for his for what he did, the way he went about the problems.
Can you say that there are certain ways that he went about his job that were different than usual or different than you might have expected? I guess what I'm saying is, were there certain things about his style that were unique, special?
No, I guess I'm not sure that you would call it unique. I think there was some differences between the way he went about it and the way Dr. Rudolph went about it. I mean, I think that he was more, I think, able to, he was more inclined, I believe, to listen to what he had heard and to form his opinion and go ahead then and decide what he wanted to do on it, whereas I believe in Dr. Rudolph's case he was more deliberate and went in much more detail on most everything that he did. In other words, most of the presentations, it would take much longer to get the charts just like he wanted them, Dr. Rudolph wanted them, rather than to have a meeting with Lee James. I'm not sure that I would think there's any real difference in the end result of what comes out. I think it was a different way of operating. Background, I think, probably had some bearing on it.
I was wondering, too, about the logistics. We're talking about getting the S-4B stage from California and testing stands to Cape Kennedy. Do you have any comments on the usefulness of the Guppy in those kinds of operations?
Once it was available, we shipped all of the stages by it. It was much quicker and I think it was much easier on the stage, much easier to do that. You know, the first few stages, I believe the first two or three, I believe, we ship by water.
Yeah.
We'd use a commercial ship, and it would be mounted on the deck, as I understand it. It would be mounted on top of the deck, and it would have covers and canvas and whatever else it is over to have it protected, and it would take about 3 weeks or a month, 15 to 20 days to go through the Panama Canal and on over there. And I think that airplane would take only the one day. I guess it would be overnight or whatever. We load it one day and we could have it down there the next day.
Yeah. I've heard the comment that the guppy got to the point. It was really crucial in helping you meet your schedule's deadline.
It did, in addition to giving you an extra 4 weeks, it did mean that, and you could also load it. See, the stage had to be loaded. I believe it had to go from Sacramento. They carried it down to a little dock there on this Sacramento River.
Cortland.
River, I believe it's Cortland. And then it had to be put on a barge and carried down the river. And then in the bay there in San Francisco, it had to be put on an ocean ship. So that meant picking it up and handling it there.
Yeah.
And in the airplane, it was different. They carried it over to this Mesa Air Force Base there, which was about the same distance as this Cortland dock. And once it was there, it was rolled on the airplane, and then it was in place until you rolled it off down at Cape Kennedy. So you avoided a lot of handling and picking it up and moving it, things of this type.
Well, this is I had some kind of just specific questions I wanted to ask. Maybe I've been asking the wrong questions.
No, I think you've covered brought to mind most of the things. So a lot of the things you tend to forget in time, and as long as you think, well, you finish with that one, you'll think of the next one. So you don't try to store all of this stuff for future use.
When you, I assume you transferred then out of the S-4B, S-1B business, and did you go directly into shuttle work at that stage?
Yes, I was asked to come over to the shuttle group here from that job and try to get some shuttle over here. So.
Are the problems a heck of a lot different?
They're quite a lot like that was back at the first. In other words, we're now in the process of what is the proper plan for a budget and what sort of money should it take each year and requirements should we set up for it. This is the same sort of thing, I guess, we were going through really on this. We'll be saying about 1961 and 62. Trying to decide what requirements we should need and really how much budget should we put, should we claim is needed each year, and what schedule should we be on. And it's quite similar to what we were going through back at that time. Right, this will be,
what were you doing before you got on the S-4B in 66?
I got on S-4B when I came here in 66.
I see, yeah.
I came to NASA in 61. Yeah.
So you followed all the way through development and test and everything?
Yeah. It was started from, the S-4 was on the way at that time. It started in the S-4B at the time here. Was with it.
Well, from your standpoint, were you primarily involved with mission schedules, or were you involved in details of manufacturing as well?
I guess it was the whole thing. I was the in charge of the S-4B project from when it was started in, about 1961, I guess. We started out requesting a study of a modification of the S-4 stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this was finished, and we had some meetings with our people and with Douglas and laid out the requirements for an S-4B stage, and proceeded then to contract for that stage. Mm-hmm. And then I was, at that time it was myself, and we had Kurt Hughes was with me, and then later Charlie Myers joined that group. And then we proceeded on with that, with the S-4B, and first for the 1B, and later, for the 7-5, and then later for the 1B. And then in about 1963, I believe it was in late 1963, there was a reorganization of that, in which the Saturn V group was formed, and the Saturn 1B was split off as a separate project, and I continued in with the 1B project under Lee James.
Mm-hmm.
Godfrey was assigned as a Saturn V. That then continued from about late 1963, until about 1967, At that time, then Godfrey was assigned over to the S-2, and then I had the Saturn V as well as the 1B from then on until I came over here to shuttle. So I guess I have been with management of either the S-4B or the 1B from when it started in 1961.
So you covered some of the early Saturn launches too, then. That was under your...
All of the 1B and Saturn V, but not the, I'm speaking of the S-4B is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Were there any special problems then in the early Saturn V launches involving the S-4B?
I guess it was the same sort of thing as the 1B. I mean, you see, we have the same stage, we just have a different attitude control system. That's why I was pointing out this bladder that was on the bed. I guess the 501, we did a 502, that's the one I believe we did not get a start on.
Right.
502 is the one that had a fire. I guess we had a line, a J2 engine line for
The S2, and, on the S2 stage.
I guess it lost two engines, and our stage lost that line, but I guess it happened toward the end of the burn, and later in the burn, first burn, and we just didn't get started the second time. So,
was there much carryover that you know of from the Centaur program into the S4 and S4B?
I don't really know. There may have been that from that to the S4.
Yeah.
That was, I was not here when the S4 got started. I mean, it was fairly well underway, I guess. They were building it when I was there. Now, I don't really know of too many things that are similar. The engines were the same. To my knowledge, they used the same engine. S4 used six of them, I believe.
Yeah.
Centaur used two.
Yeah.
I believe S4 was had a rigid structure such that it'll sit there by itself, whether it's pressurized or filled with propellant or whatever else you have. I believe the Centaur was more like the Atlas, which real flexible and had to be pressurized to be sufficiently rigid and maintain its low flow. So there were some differences there. I guess we didn't ever use these what they call boost pumps like the Centaur has. As I understand, that's a pump up in the tank which gives you some pressure before you hit before it ever gets the engine. Now, we never did use that sort of thing on the Saturn stages. I'm not sure if the advantages or disadvantages of that. I believe that's another difference. Yeah. Fairly basic difference. Yeah.
Okay, well, I asked for an hour and I've gotten a good hour. And I want to thank you very much for your time.
Well, good. Yeah.